Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello and welcome to the New Earth Architectress podcast. My name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am an architect, alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting-edge vessel of courses and programs for architects, property owners, land stewards who are longing to birth their dream sanctuaries through a new modality that bridges spirit with architecture. So this episode is part two of my last episode called Living Temple or Disaster Zone. This is an episode that I recorded to share with you the story of my house construction, its challenges, and what I've learned through the process, what I became aware of through the process. And this past week, I received more intuition and impulse to record a second part to story related to striking the balance between the big vision of what architecture can be and look like and the reality of what it's like to live in a home with other people in the house, your child, your husband. Maybe some of you have more children. I have one. And the reality of what is home really, right? For mothers, for partners. And what I want to share with you is that as an architect who is downloading, channeling, receiving visions for what is possible for the future architecture, and these visions are so beautiful, they're so advanced, they're so evolved and evolved from what the current state of architecture is for the majority of people on this planet. And it's an architecture that breathes, that's organic, that's flowing, that has a direct channel of communication between the spiritual world, between it and the spirit world, it and the nature spirits, it and Mother Earth. And that this architecture is a living architecture that has the capacity to become a vehicle for humanity's unfoldment and transformation. And so as an architect who loves building, who loves creating, who loves building beauty, during our house construction, which is still, we're working on the garden, we are working on the millwork in our home. I just want to keep going and going and creating and work details and exploring and experimenting with every corner of the home. But what can happen is that as us spirit architects, we can want to impose and force too many expectations on the home, on the family home. And so we could force it to become a temple. And there are many, you can see on social media, there's a wave of a new conscious way of designing, particularly with interior designers. I applaud them. It's a celebration, a new conscious way. There's this whole movement around wellness and healing in design and architecture. And a lot of these people, creators and designers and architects, are people who once the beauty, the power of ancient healing architecture, the ancient temples, and this could be eons ago, this could be in past lives, etc. And so they carry this wisdom with them, and want to bring this wisdom into interiors, particularly with home building. And this is a beautiful thing. I mean, our inner temple does begin with our inner domain, right? With the beauty, with the craft in our inner domain. And so creating a home that is a reflection of that is a beautiful thing. But what can happen is, what I've experienced is, we tend to want to force the temple architecture onto our homes. And, you know, to be really real here, a temple has a specific function, and temples are used to help activate somebody, to initiate somebody, to go through some kind of sacred rite of passage, to go to meditate, to be at peace. I mean, this is the reason why there are so many beautiful retreat centers and spaces and places that we need to restore ourselves, to remove ourselves from the day-to-day life, right? Whether it be family life, work life, to remove ourselves from that day-to-day environment to get a recharge, right? And so that's really the meaning of that's really a true temple. And these temples are built in most often in power places. This is where there's a unique convergence of underwater. There's underwater temples too, right? Thinking about Atlantis, underground water channels, water veins that intersect at specific angles, as well as coupled with them being intersected with the solar masculine naturally occurring ley lines in the earth, form this beautiful, harmonious sweet spot that I call it, or a power spot that emits this beautiful, harmonious energy, which you can experience, for example, in places like Ephesus, where I lead my VIP retreats for women architects who hear the call to fully step into the ancient temple builders that they are and pioneer the new earth sanctuaries. You can find the remnants of these ancient temples there. I mean, it is just such a powerful, powerful place. And you get taste of what it was like to make a sacred pilgrimage to this temple and removing all the excess clutter. I'm picturing you removing your excess garments, cloaks, scarves, additional, any kind of luggage that you're carrying, any heavy baggage that you're carrying, and stepping into this beautiful flowing garment, light as a feather, to enter this sacred temple. And in order for you to be fully focused on that experience, you shouldn't have your family members around, like your sick son, you know, spitting in the kitchen sink after coughing. It's not, you know, it's like these moments that I want these people to occur and to be in our home just get ruined, or like, you know, smelly socks being hung over, you know, my beautiful central staircase, right? The railing of the staircase. You know, laundry being thrown everywhere. Not to say that I'm the cleanest person, right? I take part in this as well. But, you know, there's this ongoing dance between the mess and the order in the home. And there was a part of me that's really rejecting that, the reality of that, the reality of the fact that living in a home with other members present. I mean, I'm a hermit, so some people think it's funny the way I speak, because it's like I speak from a place of like, Like, I'm really a hermit. I need to be 75% alone. And so I just hear this voice going like, okay, well, so why did you have a child? Why did you want to marry somebody, right? If you could just live alone. Well, this is my life lesson, right? To live in communion, in partnership with others, to share and to release the control of micromanaging everything and making sure that, you know, everything is perfect, picture perfect. So this is one of the teachings of the feminine, right? She's the dark, she's the mystery, she's the chaos, she can be messy. You can be confused, like in her realm, like what is going on? I have no control. Versus the masculine, the order, the foundation, the structure. Not to say that there can be a chaos in the masculine, sure. Not to say that there can be an order feminine as well, but for the majority, the archetypal energies here that we're talking about is the mess, the mystery, the chaos is the feminine, the emotion, right? Versus the masculine being, you know, like just like the two columns upright, the roof, the impeccable, pristine, strong temple, right? It's a masculine energy. But the mystery and the magic that occurs, the invisible that occurs within that structure, he needs to stay strong for her. He needs to stay strong, upright, a safe, strong container to hold that magic, to hold that beauty, to hold that alchemy. That's the feminine. And so there are micro aspects of these greater truths in our own homes. And this home construction is teaching me this. And so I got to a point where I realized, aha, right, okay. So I don't need to force a temple to happen in my home. I mean, that's not realistic. Let's be grounded and realistic here. What we can do is create moments of peace and grounding, especially if you're a creator like me and you're working from home. I have a dedicated room for my creations and I'm building it like a temple. And that aspect of the home, that space in the home can be the temple. It can be the sacred temple. But still, there's some compromises that I need to make, some sacrifices as a mother in this stage of our family life. Like, for example, the closet that I just got built, one side of the closet is dedicated to the cleaning equipment. Now, in a temple, would we want cleaning like brooms and buckets and cleaning equipment in the temple in one of the sacred central locations? No, we don't want all that stuff there. We would create, if we had a proper spiritual center design, right? We would create that as an accessory building, right? Or an attachment onto the central temple area. Does this make sense to you? So what I'm getting at here is there's a risk for spiritual people to become ungrounded. When we are communing with spirit guides, with angels, with the cosmos, there's a tendency to be lifted up off of the ground. And if you are not practicing actually spiritual esoteric practices in the right way, there's a risk of being lifted off and you becoming detached from reality. I'm going to use the word reality. Of course, we can dive into really what is reality and we could open up that whole can of worms and dive into that topic, which is a worthy one, right? What is reality? The question, what is the 3D? Is it Maya? Is it not, right? But we are physical beings, physical experience on this earth. And it's really important to strike the balance between above and below and being a bridge between the two, a divine union of the two. And I think of Rudolf Steiner's beautiful wooden carved sculpture of the representative of humanity in the Goethe Annum in Switzerland, in Dornach. Such a powerful sculpture. I highly recommend any of you who love traveling to visit the Goethe Annum in Switzerland. It's a very powerful building, and the sculpture is as well. And so you have the representative of humanity that is represented as a man wearing a beautiful cloak garment. And he is, I think he's got, yeah, he's got one hand up and one hand down, straddling the two worlds of above and below. And above is the figure of Lucifer, and below is Ahriman. Lucifer is, I think he referred to him as an angel, but I'm not sure if that's correct. But a being that is Lucifer, an energy that tends to take us into floaty thoughts. So I have phases in my life, and I still do, where I become very luciferic. This is what we would, in anthroposophical terms, you would say, where you get so taken into a floaty realm of visioning that you get so kind of, in a way, lost up there that you forget to, like, daily tasks like tending to the garden, tending to the fruit trees, and ensuring they are doing well each day. That's a grounded practice, right? And then you've got Ahriman, who is like, pulls you into the death of matter, a matter that has no life, a matter that is a void shell with no pulse and with no heart, with no life force moving through it. And so there's a lot of examples of architecture that dead matter architecture, you know, like metal blocks that maybe have really sharp corners and don't feed and nourish the human soul. It's very dead. And in a way too, there's always a bit of a sprinkle there that is luciferic, because the architect most probably was just more interested in designing what was like a cool intellectual project, right? And it looks really cool on paper. So that's actually luciferic. That's pulling you away from your full mind, body, and soul. You're just floating up in this realm detached from the surface of the earth. And then it just doesn't fit on the property. It doesn't fit for human life. It doesn't fit for human health. And so I've been observing my tendencies to be luciferic, my tendencies. I generally have more of the tendency to be luciferic, I would say. And that's why working with wood, for example, for grounding practice, which is something that I want to bring more, you know, running an online business can pull us away from the physical, the earth, being interacting with each other in the flesh. Again, that could pull you away from the earth, right? So yeah, do you notice that in yourself? Like, do you notice those parts of you where you tend to be floaty, be pulled away from the surface of the earth, and just get kind of obsessed with that vision or a dream, but not be fully present physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually on the earth plane, physically present for your family, physically present, and mindfully present for your children, for example. There could be a part of you that's being driven by the Ahriman, by just the hard, let's just get it done. Practical. Okay, we're not going to really necessarily need to bring much beauty into this. Let's just get it done. What's the most practical, the most money we can make off of this property? How many boxes can we fit on this property? Oh, it's the, you know what? The land has a living, breathing pulse. What are you talking about? That's just gibberish, right? That doesn't mean anything. Let's just get practical. right? So that's the Ahrimanic energy. And I mean, when we go even further deep, it's a very dark, scary energy that really wants to suck the life force out of us. But we learn from both, right? We learn from both energies. And without them, our biological system would not function. Of course, you know, nature, the planets, the cosmos, the whole rhythms of nature, of course, that's like a really big part of it. So yeah, can a home really be your temple? That's a question I wrote down. Can your home really be a temple? And I would say in some moments, yes, but not entirely, not entirely. Now, if you're living by yourself, maybe you don't have kids. It's like, I'm trying to get out here is that we tend to like, it can be fun to play with words, spiritual words, and kind of overlay like, oh, your home is your temple. Oh, your home is your sanctuary. Build your home. But the reality of it is like really a temple when there's like dirty socks and underwear and laundry spilled all over the place and the beds are a mess and all that. Like, no, I mean, you could argue with me, but there's a specific function that temples have. And we need to be real about that. We need to be real about that. Now, another thing to consider, of course, is that as humanity evolves and we go through this process of individuation, meaning that we are no longer tribal, we're no longer connected to attached to blood ties, you know, family members, a specific maybe cult or religion. Not saying that, you know, religion is a bad thing. All I'm saying is that, you know, each and every one of us have a very unique frequency that and seed that wants to emerge, and that we don't need to be like everybody else. And that's the key to our awakening, this going through this process of individuation. It doesn't mean that we can't come together with kindred souls to create something in group. It doesn't mean that we can't live together in community, but each and every one of us are very unique. What I want to say about this is that because, yeah, we're entering into this new stage in humanity's unfoldment, the less and less we're going to need churches, mosques, synagogues, you know, temples where maybe a certain religion is practiced. I mean, there's some friends of mine who would argue with that. And I'm, you know, I'm tomorrow, I may, you know, say something different about that. But what I'm trying to say is that these temples, these places where we gather to evolve spiritually, they are evolving too, from the classic church, the classic mosque, the classic synagogue. And on some levels, on a deep level, we don't need these places to connect with God. We don't need these places anymore to make us spiritual. We don't need these places. It's not a requirement, a must anymore. I would say in the past, in earlier stages of our development, absolutely, we needed them. And so this goes back to the home, and this goes back to the temple question. Ultimately, we need to be cultivating the temple within, right? We need to be cultivating the temple within. And you could say then, in that case, well, then your home needs to be your temple as well to support that inner environment. So these are questions. These are questions. Then again, I wouldn't want to see a world where everyone's recluse in their own, speaking about the hermit, everyone is isolated in their homes and, you know, well, I don't need anybody else because I have a connection with God and I'm cultivating the temple within, and then I'm isolating, or yeah, I'm just alone basically. Well, no, we don't want that either, right? We want to be in connection with others. We want to grow healthy communities, and support of others is super important for not only for our own personal growth, but also for the building of the new earth, building of communities. And so this leads to a question then, what are the new temples? What are they really used for? What would be some examples of that? It could be the healing spa, right? A place where you get to fully heal your body. And this is not something new, but what else? Places to hear lectures, right? We see a lot of centers like this in Sedona, for example. Lectures and talks, a place where you can do group transformation work, art. There's so much possible. So, you know, where are you not being real? Where are you not taking a balanced approach in the way that you practice architecture, in the way that you practice your day-to-day life? Where are you not striking that balance between above and below? And what are ways then strike that balance to restore the harmony within and restore the harmony without? I, for example, in the last days, committed to taking more time to tend to my garden, to take care of the lemon trees, which in their early stages of growth, their leaves are so tender and so juicy for all kinds of insects to eat for their breakfast, right? There's a line of bushes that we planted along the fence on our property, one of the fences rather on our property. And we haven't gotten a lot of rain these days. And just observing, looking at every single plant line and feeling the energy along that line and talking to the plants and tending to their care. And can you do it in a way where you're fully present and not thinking about the next task you need to do? Not thinking about a conversation that you had with your partner, or not thinking about your worries, your stresses. This kind of presence is required more and more these days as the world is going through a lot of trauma, protests, violence, wars, usury, manipulation. And us as sensitive souls, we can feel these energies, and it can really derail us from our mission. And so one of the keys to being an architect of the new earth, not just talking about spiritual stuff and then kind of overlaying it onto, you know, an architecture that you already used to create, but that there's nothing about it, no new forms are being birthed, or nothing in the process also of creating it is not really new, but you're just kind of using the terms. I mean, I've done that too. I mean, it's not like, I just want you to be aware of what can pull you away off of the ground and what can actually drive you too deep down into matter, into dark matter. It's a spiritual practice to be an architect of the new earth. And the sacred blueprint has taught me this. It's still teaching me this. And I am currently in the process of preparing an amazing program for the architects who are eager and ready to be stewards of the sacred blueprint and bridge spirit with form and really do what it takes to become this bridge between above and below, to be able to usher in the new paradigm, to be able to usher in the architecture that humanity really, truly, deeply needs. An amazing entry point into this into getting a taste of this practice, an experience of what's possible to when it comes to creating these new sanctuaries, what's possible when you do, like I started in the beginning, remove all the unnecessary weight, remove all the unnecessary chatter in the mind, remove all the unnecessary programming that you've accumulated as a result of structures that have been overlaid on you, on your beautiful soul, to pull you away from your essence, from speaking your truth. And so letting all these layers fall away, these unnecessary layers, and stepping into this beautiful garment of light, of love, to come and commune with the goddess, to come and commune with a sacred site. Ephesus is one of these places, and I am so excited to hold space for a very select group of women architects who are hearing the call to birth these temples, the temples of the new earth. I am leading the 4-day retreat from May 8th to 12th, 2025. And this is for the ones who are ready, the ones who are committed, who are devoted to carrying the torch for nature, carrying the torch for the feminine, the magic of the feminine, carrying the torch for the new spirit architecture that will nourish the next seven generations and beyond. I am accepting applications still for this retreat. You will find the link below to sign up for application details. Once you apply, I will reach out via an email to schedule your one-on-one call to determine if you're an aligned match. And then you'll start to get ready for this amazing pilgrimage in Ephesus. I cannot wait for the magic that's going to unfold for you there. And it's time to build the next level of this movement, of the Sacred Blueprint movement. And I'm excited for you to be a part of it. All right. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers, to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling, while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, Gule Gule.